Let's pray. Loving God, as we think about all your goodness to us, bless us and put your love and your gratitude in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, this is an appropriate building in which to celebrate Thanksgiving, because this church is not called St. Paul's or St. Matthew's. It's called Thanksgiving Church. Why is it called that? Well, this building that you see here replaced an old original building, and it was dedicated on November the 20th, 1888. And that's exactly 50 years after Pastor Carvel held the first service in this place here. It was originally called Thanksgiving and Memorial Church, but after a while, the memorial got dropped off, and it just is called Thanksgiving Church. So this building is a perfect place to celebrate Thanksgiving. And traditionally, the day was set aside to thank God for the harvest, particularly the grain harvest and the harvest from people's gardens. But now most people are no longer involved in agriculture, or not all that many of us have good veggie gardens anymore. And so we use this day to thank God for other blessings as well, for life and health and every good that God gives us. Some of you mightn't be feeling particularly thankful right now. In this part of the world, the grain harvest was only average at best. And the vintage looks much the same, with the yield and the price both down. You may be disappointed at the rise of inflation and the rise of interest rates. You may be concerned about the decrease in social cohesion in Australia and the rise of sectarian conflict. You may be worried about lots of things. But put aside all those for a moment and just do what the old Sunday school song tells you to do. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And to help us think about our blessings, I've asked a couple of people this morning to name a blessing that they're thankful for and why they're thankful for it. And the first one is Penny. Penny, would you tell us about your blessing?
Will.
You're on. Speak up.
I thought, well, what does a person with MS who's got a disability thank the Lord for? So, the first thing that I always thank the Lord for is my husband, who's a wonderful carer, and he's become the domestic champion in our household. And he's learned all sorts of tasks that he can manage really well now. So what a blessing for me. I've also got another blessing that's just arrived a couple of days ago, and that's my twin sister. And she's always an encouragement to me, and has always spurred me on to try and do better, because she's been the one that's more blessed in abilities. So as we've got older, we've learned not to be so competitive, but to encourage each other. So that's a good one. Then there's a lot of things that have come into my life as blessings since I've found out that I've had MS. There's a wonderful thing called the MS Society, which has lots of people specialising in ways that they can help, and I can ring for information or support, and they have nursing people there who can help with all sorts of things. So when I started off and had to give myself injections, there was a wonderful person who came out and taught me how to do that. and made me much braver in that department. And they also give opportunities for us to gain all sorts of knowledge and to share it. So I've got a support group that I organise, and we get together and share things. And I can praise the Lord that so many of them are Christian people too. There's this thing called the NDIS that many people are naming as a difficulty these days, but I have to praise the Lord for all the good things that have come to me through that, especially a lot of wonderful carers who helped me and have become very good friends. And then I have an OT who takes joy in finding all sorts of aids that help me. And especially I have to thank the NDIS, the Lord for the NDIS, for a lot of the very expensive aids that I have these days, like wheelchairs and different things in our home. I praise the Lord for this wonderful, safe country that we live in, especially when we hear of all the sad things that are happening overseas in countries where there's war and fighting and people are feeling very unsafe. So thank you, dear Lord, for all the blessings that we have here.
Thank you, Penny. And now I call on David West. He's got something that he'd like to publicly thank God for. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Pastor. A few weeks ago at Hugger Mugs, Pastor Brian asked me if I would spend a little time talking about the blessings that I've got. And blessings, wow. I thought he said 45 minutes, but in fact it was 4 to 5 minutes, he said. And you can cut that in halves because he's got a lever if I go over that and I'll disappear somewhere into the bottom. I couldn't do it in this time. There's so many blessings that I've received. Then I found the theme of today was Thanksgiving and heart. And I thought, well, that's all right. I could narrow it down a little bit to that. And yesterday being Valentine's Day, we're going to think about our sweetheart and give thanks for our sweethearts then. But I haven't got time for that either. That'll take too long. So then I thought, what about my beating heart? And about 3 months ago, my beating heart stopped beating when I had an operation. And they stopped it for a while they did some repairs and maintenance on it. And I just want to dwell for a moment on the people who I need to give thanks for that, the people who diagnosed it, the people who prepared for the operation, and the people who did the operation and stopped my heart for a while they fixed it. And they didn't take a break or knock off the shift because it was a 6.5-hour operation, otherwise I would have been left stranded. But they got the operation, they got the heart beating again, so I now have a beating heart. So I'm very pleased with that. We had the surgeons, I'm so thankful for their skills. And for the anaesthetist, the specialists afterwards, and the nurses, and the people who came to visit me. Pastor Brian came, I had texts and phones. All of these people I'm so thankful for that, again, my heart is beating as better than it was before, and just so thankful. So, and a lot of you have been in the same situation or had other medical problems where you're now, thanks to the people, the medical staff and experts have been able to get you back on the road again, and give thanks for that. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I'd just like to add a little reflection about the gospel reading we heard before about Jesus healing these 10 lepers. Being cured of leprosy is an absolutely great blessing. Leprosy was a disfiguring disease. often your face was deformed, your hands were deformed, your feet were deformed, and you became an object of horror to other people when they saw you. But perhaps the worst thing about it was socially isolating. If you got leprosy, you were removed from normal society. You were quarantined, not quarantined in a big building somewhere, but quarantined in the countryside or on an island somewhere. And if other people happened to come near you, you had to put your hand in front of your face like this and say, unclean, unclean, to warn them to stay away from you, lest you passed on this horrible infection. And so you were cut off from your husband, your wife, your kids, your friends, cut off from birthday celebrations, cut off from any kind of celebration, cut off from coming to worship. It must have been a really miserable existence. So when Jesus cured these 10 people, he gave them a great blessing. He gave them back not only their health, but he gave them back their lives. He gave them back their families, their jobs, their dignity. And I'm sure that all 10 of them just rejoiced greatly in this gift that they had received. But only one came back. And why did this man come back? What was different about him? What moved him to return? Now Luke tells us that the one who came back was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan, not a Jew, not a Jew. And the Jews in general had very little time for Samaritans. See, Samaritans were a mixture of Jewish people and other people from far away who 700 years before had been transported to that part of the world by the Babylonians. And they were, if you like, cousins in some sense to the Jews. They had their own scriptures, which were almost the same as the Jewish scriptures. They had their own beliefs, almost the same as the Jewish beliefs. But they had their own temple, and their temple was on Mount Gerizim, not in Jerusalem. And Jews in general absolutely despised Samaritans. They regarded them as heretics, outside the people of God. And a Samaritan could expect no help, no favours from any Jew. But Jesus didn't discriminate against this Samaritan. Jesus gave him the same blessing as he gave the others. He healed him, he gave him back his life. And this touched him deeply. It touched his heart. He had an experience of grace, of being blessed unexpectedly, wonderfully, by the love of God. And that grace, that experience of grace, drew him back to Jesus to kneel at his feet and there to give thanks and praise to God. Now, you and I are like that Samaritan. By ourselves, we are unclean. We're sinners. We have no place in God's holy presence. But God has sent Jesus to clean us up. And that's why Jesus went to Jerusalem. That's why he was on the way to Jerusalem right then. He went to Jerusalem to take our uncleanness, our sin, upon himself. There, Jesus became the unclean one, carrying your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. And then he died for us on the cross and was put on the rubbish. Died on the rubbish heap of Jerusalem. But because he died for us and rose again, he's gained forgiveness for us. And this forgiveness is personally applied to us when we are washed in the water of baptism. We are made clean, we are made holy, we become members of God's family. And we can call God Father. And we can ask him to be with us as we go on our journey through life. And when our journey comes to an end, we can ask him to take us to be with him. And he will. He will. God's greatest blessing is Jesus. It's through Jesus that we come into the loving embrace of God. And where do we go to give thanks to God? Not to Jerusalem. Not to Rome. Not even to Tanunda. Or even this church building. We go to the feet of Jesus. There we kneel and give praise to God. Jesus said to the man who returned, "Your faith has made you whole." Giving thanks to God is a sign of faith in God and faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's a sign of spiritual health. It's a sign that your relationship with God is restored. It's made whole. So, my friends, come to Jesus' feet. Kneel down there. Give thanks and praise to God. Thank him for his many blessings, especially for the gift of Jesus to you. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for all your good gifts, and especially the gift of your Son. Accept our thanks and praise in his name. Amen.